all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of God. And we are going to be listening here to the sermon I just preached yesterday for Resurrection Day. And it's entitled, On the Road to Emmaus. It's one of my favorite sermons. I've preached it before. I love, it's updated and brand new, but I've preached the subject. Hopefully everyone has. The two disciples walking, gloomy, thinking that the Messiah was a bust because he was crucified and because he died and because we're going to look at what's wrong, what was faulty with those statements. And not only that, they're going to find themselves with a mysterious stranger that's going to start walking with them. And that's what we're going to be looking at here today and tomorrow on the road to Emmaus. This is WGOD Radio. God is always speaking if you take the time to tune in to his frequency. We'll be back again here later with other things. We're teaching through the book of 1st and 2nd Peter at church. We're in Revelation at the church on Wednesday nights. Matter of fact, this Wednesday night, we'll be looking at the last trumpet. We'll be looking at all the events that take place at the last trumpet. We just left off with the two witnesses, and right after that comes the sounding of the last trumpet when the Bible says the mystery of God would be finished. So, okay, well, that's going to do it for me. And again, for more info on this ministry, you can go to WGODradio.com. Our Facebook page is WGOD Radio. You'll find links on there to every sermon I've ever preached from the website and every Bible study I've ever had, going back some 13 years. Okay, let's get into the Word now. This is part one of this message, On the Road to Emmaus.
Before we get started with my message here this morning, just a short reminder of the significance of the resurrection of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say how thrilled I am, too, to see so many people here turn out to the house of God today. It's most we've ever had in 9 years I've been pastor here. Amen. And I'm so grateful to see everyone turn out. And we have some visitors, too, coming from the food pantry. And I see a puppy back there who's got some water, too. Praise God. So if it gets hot in the kitchen, dog's got some water. So again, though, the significance of resurrection morning must come from him and come from the scriptures, such as 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. After that, he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due time." All these people here were eyewitnesses. And God used them to write this book, being led by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus." Hallelujah. "And will present us with you." You see, now you and I have got the very same promise. The same God that rose up Jesus on this day promises. And God keeps his promises. The same God who rose up his son from the dead is going to raise you up as well if you die before he comes back. You know what the great thing would be? Is he'd come back before you die. How cool is that? He promises to get... You guys got an hour and a half, right? "All those who live," he says, "all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe that? There's a blessed bunch of people here on planet Earth. The first group that saw him and know the color of his eyes, how blessed to be able to say that you knew Jesus Christ. The second group is those that will be alive when he comes back. That group, he says, will never die. And he says, believest thou this? And if you say yes, then he's talking to you, these promises. He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with him and will present us with you. Carol, Bill. Bill, Carol. Carol, Jesus. Jesus, Carol. We've got the same promise. You see, God authenticated every word. You see, just like, what's his name? The guy that died the same day as Kennedy. Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis. He wrote, it's either one of two things with Jesus. Either he's three things, a liar or a lunatic, or praise God, he's the Son of God. Amen. He said he's been around since the beginning. He said he was older than Abraham, who died 1,500 years earlier than that. He's either a liar or a lunatic, or he's the Son of God. Any old lunatic can say whatever they want, and when they're dead, their bones are still in the ground. But Jesus never, his bones never saw corruption. We read about in Psalm 16. God raised them up from the dead. God authenticated every word that Jesus said by raising him up from the dead. And we're here today to recharge our batteries and to remember that. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. All of everlasting life and peace with God is confirmed and a fact due to God raising up his Son out of the grave. We celebrate that here this morning. Now, with that in mind, good morning and happy Resurrection Day. I've got a short message today to make up for keeping everyone here past 12 noon last week. I want to pick up where we left off last week. Better yet, I want to look at Passion Week from their perspective, the first Christians. I want to look at how the original Easter morning transpired. Now, as we looked at last week and how the original Last Supper and Holy Communion transpired. Remember my sermon last week? Is that Jesus was troubled and said, one of you people's going to betray me. And they all, except Peter, said, is it I? The one guy who said, I would never do that, is the one who did it. That's what we looked at last week. That's where we left off. And I've been thinking about Peter and Judas this last week. Talk about having a bad day. Imagine putting your hands on a stack of Bibles, and figuratively speaking, and raising your other hand and saying, under a court of law, I've never heard of Jesus Christ. That is having a bad day. And don't try it at home. Now, this is what happened to Peter, if you remember. You can read about it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Now, having arrested, this is verse 54, having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Followed at a distance. Greek word apostasia. Apo means away from. Stasis means a place to stand. It's where the word apostasy comes from. It means to stand away from someone out of fear of associating the dangers that comes from that association. Peter follows at a distance. Now, when they kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and they sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain slave girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he, Peter, denied him, capital H. That's Jesus. He denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." After a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are one of them." Peter says, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour had passed, another, then it says this, confidently affirmed. Meaning the other person said to him, for those of you old enough to remember laughing, said, "You can bet your sweet bippy, I seen you." They confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was also with him, for he's a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you were saying." The other gospels says he called down curses on him and denied that he knew him. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61, and the Lord turned. Now, can you imagine this after doing that? You're within eyesight of Jesus. He's in the building over here. And they're, and then all of a sudden, he just, and those steely eyes make eye contact with Peter. And that was all she wrote for him. Said he went outside and wept bitterly. Talk about having a bad day. Now, meanwhile, down on the ranch is Judas Iscariot. Matthew 27. Now, when morning had come, and all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, now catch his attitude here. Catch that he wasn't expecting this. It says, when he saw that he was condemned, he was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I've sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What do we care about that? You see to it." Then he threw down, or better yet, he hurled, like Nolan Ryan. He hurled the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. And then, as if that's not bad enough, Matthew 27, 33, now they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull. And they gave him, that's Jesus, sour wine mixed with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Now, gall is what we looked at here in the book of Revelation the other night. Absinthe. Wormwood. No wormwood for Jesus. He wasn't going to drink any of that. When you cry out to him and saying, "I'm hurting," he doesn't say, "I can't relate," because he was numb. He can relate to everything that you go through. All the troubles, everything you go through, Jesus has been there. He can relate. He knows what you're going through, and he knows how you feel. Now, verse 35, this is, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Quote, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Now, by the way, that was written down 970 years before it happened. That's Psalm 22, Old Testament. The man who wrote that between 930 and 950 B.C. And if you say, "Oh, they added that after he died," no, that one doesn't work. That's in the Greek Septuagint. It's in the Library of Alexandria, Egypt, from 250 B.C., for those that say, "Well, they added that after the fact," there's quotation marks around this. The man who wrote Psalm 22 is describing what's going to happen to the Messiah. And he said, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Verse 37, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross. That casual comment was also recorded 970 years in advance. You find it in Psalm 22 in your Old Testament. Verse 41, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. There's another one out of Psalm 22. Verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, all this happened on that night and early morning, from Peter to Judas to what we just saw here with Jesus. Let's call this Friday to humor you. Friday. Because I believe it's Thursday, really, but that's a whole nother can of worms there, regardless of what day it is. Now, let's pick it up in the Gospel of Luke now, chapter 24. Now, Jesus is dead, as far as these travelers know, whom we're about to catch up with on the road. Not sure if they knew that the tomb was empty or not. And they're on their way to wherever they came from. They're dejected. By the way, can't you just hear it now? I can't believe he's dead, one must have said. We thought he was the Messiah, one said. But he died on Friday, the other said. What a weekend, the other said. Oh, man, our taxes are due next week, the other said. And I thought he was going to eliminate the Jerusalem state income tax, the other might have said. This is the banter that must have been going on here on this Easter morning. Now, verse 13, Luke 24, 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a road to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You see, I'm not making these things up. So it was, when they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not recognize him. Now, this word restrain is actually a name for God in the New Testament. It's the name, the word kratos, which means powerful or strong. Pantokratos is a name for God, Almighty God. Here you got the word kratos relating to the eyes of these two on the road. That's how powerful, that's how powerfully they were kept from knowing who it was they were walking with. So it was, they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were powerfully restrained so that they did not know him or recognize him. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, He says, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and you walk and are gloomy? So it's, what kind of muck is this that I'm hearing on this road? Is what he's saying to them. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger around here? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Or you have not known the things that happen there in these days? Or as my friend Ron Howard puts it, have you been under a rock these past 3 days? So here's the question again. Are you the only stranger that you don't know what's happened around here in these days? So he answered and said to him, what things? Now that is the funniest verse in all the New Testament. They say to the Son of God, where were you? Don't you know what happened? Look at all these things. And he goes, what things? Not a traditional response from Jesus, is it? I love that verse. So they said to themselves, all right, let's go down to his level here. Let's explain it to him now. What's happened? So they said to him, the things about Jesus of Nazareth. You remember him, the guy with the beard. Died on the cross. So they said, well, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But this is the first problem here, this but. See, there is no but after the resurrection. That was what I forgot to say. There's two places where these guys went wrong. This is one of them. Thinking there's a but after the crucifixion. There is no but. This was God's plan all along. We read in Revelation 13:8 that he was slain from the foundation of the world. This was always God's plan. He doesn't respond as things happen. He decrees a plan, and so it is. So the word but here shows you this is where their first problem, where they says, but we were hoping it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these happened.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Good morning, and the time now, 6:53 here on this Monday morning. Paul Esposito with you, station manager of WMIE. Good morning, happy Monday to you. Hope you enjoyed that program, and that's from, as you know, WGOD. For the last 6 weeks or so, we have been on at this time now from 6:30 to 7 in the morning, moving from 7 to 6:30. And which has opened up the 7 a.m. slot, so that is open now. If you happen to, maybe your church or your minister or someone you know might be interested in that, 7 to 7:15 is available here at WMIE. And for more info on that, you can call me here at 632-1000. And speaking of calling me here at 632-1000 as well, this is day one of our spring fundraiser here at the station, known as The Offering. We are raising up this week another $35,000, same total and goal we've had for quite some time now. However, this is the highest we've ever been prior to turning on these microphones here at 6:54 on this Monday morning. We're at $29,030. That's where we stand. Believe it or not, that's the highest as many years as I've been here since 2004. That's the highest it's ever been, $29,030. Now, maybe you say, how in the world did you get to $29,000 without even being on the air? Well, that is because of you, our faithful listeners. When you call to the radio station, I'll ask you, which I have to have, by the way, your name and address. We have to have a record because we're a nonprofit radio station, and where the money comes from to broadcast. And I will keep that in our database here. Never give it out to anyone over my dead body. And then next time around, 6 months from now, I'll generate a list of everyone who's given in the last 6 or 7 or 8 years. And you receive a letter from me stating when the fundraiser is going to start, with a return envelope and a little colored card here for you to fill it out for how much you'd like to give. And thanks to all of you who have already responded to that, we're at $29,030. Praise God. We only have $5,970 to go. So that's where we stand. I'm here with you all week today, or all week today. The day is young. I'm here with you all week. Well, always. You know, taking your pledges. The number is 632-1000. If you've given to WMIE in the past, you should have received a letter in the mail. You also should have received a little colored piece of paper in there on how are we doing. First time we've ever sent that out. And I want to thank you to all the responses that we've gotten. A few of them I'm going to put into practice here as soon as we're done. And I'll be reading those here later on in the afternoon hours. I'll probably be on live in the afternoon hours later in the week, probably Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If we go that long, we only need to raise $5,970. So as I was saying, if you've given to WMIE in the past, and if you received that letter in the mail, and if you have yet to send that back, would you give me a call here on this Monday morning and just tell me that you want to support us again and for how much? The number, 321-632-1000. Normal programming here. Make your day count at 7:15. Morning breath. The radio ministry of East Coast Christian Center at 7:30. Charles Stanley at 8:05. Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthur's at 8:30. So all normal programming. We're not preempting anything, just sharing our needs with you in between programs. Okay, let's keep going here. 321-632-1000. 632-1000. We only have $5,970 to go.
I am and who I used to be. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right. Somewhere between the darkness and the light. Somewhere between who I was and who you're making me. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense. Deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for His, or are we caught in the middle? Are we caught in the middle? Somewhere between my heart and my hands, somewhere between my faith and my plans. Somewhere between the safety of the boat and the